Welcome to Onward Upward, a podcast all about helping you live each and every day for Jesus. We're so glad you've tuned in to this episode. My name is Dan, and I'm one of the pastors at a church called MBM. That stands for the Multicultural Bible Ministry. And we count it an absolute privilege to have people from 70 different cultures call MBM home. One of those cultures is Kenya, where my guest Karita is from today. And he's going to share his beautiful story of how he's moved from Kenya to the western suburbs of Sydney and along the way, his journey towards becoming an Australian citizen. But more than that, we're also going to hear about he has become a citizen of heaven and what God has been teaching him along that journey. So let's get started. So good to have you here, Karita. You're married to Gladys, who we actually heard her story of how she came to know Jesus back at the Christmas service last year, wasn't it? Christmas Day service.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that seems like such a long time ago. That was back in Christmas. It's only, what, 5 months ago now?
Yes, but a lot has happened since then.
Indeed, a lot has happened. Absolutely. You're also someone who wasn't on the scene in your family back Christmas was your new daughter, Talia, who was born in March.
Yes.
So you're a new dad. You're part of our 1045 service. Karita, which we're just going to get to know you a bit here, but which country were you born in?
I was born in Kenya, which is in the eastern part of Africa. I guess one thing or what Kenya is known for is for its tea, coffee and long distance runners, which unfortunately, to the best of my knowledge, I'm not one of them. I don't run that unless there's emergency.
Unless there's an emergency. Yeah. Okay. So if you don't run, do you have a favorite sport?
Yes, tennis.
Tennis. Good sport.
Yeah. Anything I can play with my hands. You know, with my hands and not legs. Yes.
Yes. What about a favorite food of yours?
Chapati.
Chapatis. Beautiful. And how did you propose to Gladys?
She was living in Melbourne, so I drove down with a friend of mine to Melbourne. I think I made up a story about me sending something to her and so that just to get her to come to the door. And when she opened the door, I was there on one knee. But I also guess maybe part of it was that I was tired from the journey.
You were driven down to Melbourne?
Yes, I drove down to Melbourne.
Yeah. Well, that was a long way to travel to ask a question, but I'm sure a very worthwhile question nonetheless.
Oh, yes, he is. And yeah, she got it right.
She got it right. Beautiful. Karita, one of the many ways that you serve at church is, many people not know this, but you stack the chairs on the Saturday in readiness for our Sunday services. Now, I would think that you know, with us being in lockdown, that actually that's a good thing because, you know, you've got your Saturday night back again. But is that your experience?
Not quite. I actually miss it because for me, when I'm rostered to set up the church, it's an opportunity to hang out with my brother. So we set off from home, drive it to the next available 7-Eleven, grab a cup of coffee, come to the church.
Gotta love that $1 cup of coffee from 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah.
It's available at all hours of the day.
Yeah, it's a good call. Yeah. So, yeah, we set up the church and then sometimes when we're up to it, we go for a drive and, yeah. And sometimes we end up in a place where there is an open kebab shop and, we buy a chicken snack pack to take us back home.
Nothing beats a late night kebab.
Yeah.
I reckon kebab shops should just be open at nighttime. That's when they do their best trade.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Well, Karita, tell us about what it was like for you. You mentioned before that you grew up in Kenya. What was that like for you?
It was fun because I grew up in a village. It's about 65 kilometers from the capital, so not too far, in a small farm where we kept cows. We had about 10 of them at one point, though the numbers varied from time to time. And so basically my job was to look after the cows whenever I was on school holidays or even Sunday after church. So, which made me think maybe one day I would make a king or a president, if you like. I mean, I was encouraged by the Bible. I mean, King David, before that, he was a shepherd. So I'm still waiting. to find out whether I'll be a president or a king or a leader. But yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Excellent. And yeah. Speaking of presidents and kings, there was actually a time when you were in Kenya where you actually got to sing, not for the current president at the time, but a former president.
Yes. I was in high school and the school was celebrating 40th anniversary. So I was one of the boys who were picked to sing in the choir. And yeah.
And what was that like for you?
Oh, it was bitter. Well,
hang on. It was bitter?
Yes.
Why?
I've never eaten so many lemons. Apparently, we were told that, you know, to help with the voice.
Is that a thing, to have lemons to help with your voice, your singing voice?
I'm not sure, but yeah, I eat a lot of lemons.
You were under orders at the time to eat a lot of lemons?
Yes.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll have to research and do a fact check about that. Maybe one of our wonderful musos at church can tell us, let us in on some of the secrets if they have lemons before they sing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so you're still in Kenya and you grew up, your mum was a believer and your dad came to know Jesus later on in life, which is a beautiful thing in and of itself.
Yes.
Tell us, at what age and how did you come to own Jesus for yourself?
That was after high school, so I must have been, 18? Was it 18? Yeah, 18. And yes, that's when I came to meet Jesus.
And that process, you still remember the day?
Oh, yeah. And I can give the approximate time. So I met Jesus or accepted him into my life on the 12th of January, 2001, at approximately between 9 and 10 p.m. at night.
Okay. So it must have been a very eventful day, not only for the fact that you knew and came to accept Jesus, but what else happened on the 12th of January, 2001?
A lot happened, but part of the reason why I remember it so vividly is you don't meet the King of Kings and forget about it.
Well said.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful encounter. Anyway, a friend of our family who lived in the city wanted me to go check a job opportunity that she had. So I made my way from the village to the city. And I found out that I couldn't do the job that she had in mind because it involved sales and also riding a bicycle, and none of which I could do at the time. So I didn't.
Your specialty was looking after cows.
Yes.
That was your job.
Yeah, not sales. I was good at milking, not selling. So, yeah. So when it came time to go back home, I realized it was a bit late and I didn't want to go back to the village at night. So I thought, let me check on my brother and who was a student at the local university and stay overnight with him, go back there home the following day. Only for me to go to the hostel where he was living before and found out that he had moved to a different campus and I didn't know. And he also didn't know that I was going to the city. And those days, I didn't have a mobile phone. He didn't, so there was no way of communicating. So, yeah.
So this was, you wanted to surprise your brother. You haven't found him. So did you keep on trying to look for him?
Yes. So I asked where he might have moved to. By this time, again, it was a bit later in the night, which made it all more difficult for me to go back home. I don't think I would have been able to go find the bus stop for where I could pick the bus back home. So I was given directions to the new campus where my brother had moved. And I went, caught a bus, but I got lost. By this time, it was already dark and it had started raining heavily. And let's just say that I wandered in the dark for maybe an hour or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Now, just to kind of fast forward the story, you end up in a friend of a friend's, of your brother's dormitory room after being kind of remembering some friends of his and being kind of given some directions.
Yes.
And it was this particular stranger who you got chatting with. And tell us about the nature of that conversation.
Yes, he was a very hospitable young man and also very inquisitive. He asked me a series of what I call and then questions.
So and after, then questions.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Tell us more.
So he gave me hot beverage, made me comfortable. And then he asked me, so what do you do? Since I was to join uni later that year, I said, I'm coming here at the same uni to do my Bachelor of Science. And then he asked me, and then I told him, come back to my master's. He continued, and then I said, do my doctorate. And then he asked, and then I said, get a job. And then get married.
Hang on, let me guess. And then he asked you, and then?
Yes, you're right. I told him, retire. By that time, you can see me. I'm an old man. He asked me, and then? I said, I wondered in my mind, what do you do when you retire? Die. I told him, die. He continued, and then? I was beginning to get annoyed. So when he asked, and then I told him, die, he asked me, and then I told him, go to heaven without batting an eyelid. I was so sure of that. It was then that he changed tact and he said, he asked me, how sure are you that you'll get to heaven? Now, I was ready for that question. I had dodged it before. And I told him, look, I'm a good person. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do all the bad stuff. I pray at least 3 times a day. And even better, my mom is a Christian. Okay. It was then that he calmly told me that none of those things will get you to heaven. And he said that the only way you get to heaven is if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and accept him into your life. And then he asked me, would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
And then what happened?
Yes. I was overwhelmed. I mean, the guy had, you know, just tore my defenses. Because that was the excuses I used to use before. And yeah, I realized there is no escaping. I had to make a choice. It was since I knew at that point that there was no other way. The guy was right. And I found myself praying to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. As you said, a day that you never forget because that was the day that you met the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And as you were telling me your story, I just couldn't help but think about the story that Jesus tells about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Mm. You know, you got two men, one who beats his chest and lists out all the wonderful things and why he should be led into heaven, and the tax collector who humbles himself before God, who cries out, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says it was that person, the tax collector, who was humble and cried out for mercy, who went home justified and right with God on that very day.
Yeah.
So beautiful to hear that story, Karita.
Yeah.
Now, the journey continued. As you said, you were going to university and you did some studies in Kenya.
Yes.
But that also continued and brought you to Australia as well. You came as an international student.
Yes.
You still remember the day. What day was that, actually, that you arrived in Australia?
I backtrack a little bit before I get to the international student story.
Mm.
That day, when I had gone to the city looking for a job and let alone looking for my brother, I didn't get the job and I didn't find my brother that day, but I found something better. I found Jesus, who actually, as the Bible tells me, you know, God's son, and because of my relationship with God, I've been adopted into God's family. And I felt, you know, it's amazing what I was looking for. I was lost, in a sense, looking for my blood brother. Okay. And in the same way, I was lost in sin, in darkness. And I can't help thinking, you know, I was lost. He was late at night, darkness. Yes. Again, I was insane. But Jesus found me. It's not me who found me. He found me. And I know that was very important, which is why that day is special.
Well said. Yeah. Well said. And it was a very significant day.
Yeah.
As was the day that you landed in Australia.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Again, it was on the 15th of January, 2010.
Wow. So almost exactly 9 years later to the day you find yourself in a foreign country.
Yes.
In a foreign country. What brought you here, apart from the study?
Love brought me here.
Love.
Yes.
This beautiful thing called love.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Well, I had met this girl back in Kenya when I used to work with an organization called Life Ministry that used to disciple university students. And then after a while, I left the organization, went into private business with my brother. But we kept in touch. Then this girl comes and says, oh, I'm moving to Australia to study. And I said, oh, that's good. But, you know, that was that. After a while, she came back and said, "Oh, I'm going next week." I said, "Okay, all the best." And when she got here, we started communicating and started telling me how good Australia was, and then that she wished I was here, and we developed a relationship developed out of that, and it was her who encouraged me to come to Australia. I was pretty much comfortable in Kenya, but love is a strong emotion.
It'll make you pack up your bags and cross the ocean.
Yes.
Now, before you arrived in Australia, you actually had thoughts of actually going to America and moving from Kenya to a different country. Why was that?
Yes, I don't know why, but after high school in 1999, I had this desire to live in what I called a dollar country.
A dollar country?
A dollar country.
So countries that have the dollar as part of their currency?
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking things like countries like Canada, New Zealand has a dollar, Australia has a dollar, those sort of countries.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, though probably at the back of my mind, I might have been thinking about the US because the following year after that, in 2000, I applied for universities and colleges in the US, but that didn't succeed. But sort of to remind me of that desire, I put a dollar sign in my official signature, which I used to this very day.
A dollar sign in your signature?
In my signature.
Right, okay. Not to say that you're rich today.
Yeah.
but that was a reminder of your
sort
dream.
Sort of, yeah, to capture my dream. But when things didn't work out, and I resigned to, you know, living and my life in Kenya. It actually didn't hit me until when I actually landed here and I realized, hang on, I'm living in a dollar country. You know, something, a dream, a desire that I had thought, you know, that was long forgotten, was unfulfilled. I found that it was alive and well. How amazing is that? Yeah.
And it was beautiful to hear how God had had brought you to Australia and was really continuing to do the good work that he had started 9 years earlier when you said yes to Jesus in that room from your brother's friend. Tell us, going the early days in Australia weren't easy. You arrived with only $1,000, and it took you a while to find a job. And you found yourself one day at La Perouse Beach, kind of almost at a crisis moment. Can you share with us what happened on that day?
Yes, you are right. I arrived in Australia with $1,000, a heart full of love, and a bag full of clothes and a lot of faith. But soon enough, or not long after that, the money ran out. The love that I thought I had come for ran out. And I felt I was left with nothing. So I made my way to La Perouse beach to sort of talk to God. It was the same beach where a car that a friend of mine had given me had been stolen and dropped down a cliff to the ocean on the same night that I drove it home.
Hang on, sorry. There was like one of your cars ended up off the cliff of La Perouse Beach.
Yeah, it was. The fishermen found it.
Okay, that's a story for another podcast, I think.
Yes.
But anyway, you managed to return to the scene of the crime, so to speak, and this time to talk to God.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess at that point I was on my lowest ebb, no money, no job. And I was sort of talking to God and I was telling him, I know that it was his will that I come to Australia because I had seen how he had opened the doors for me in the lead up to me coming to Australia and how even he had provided. So I had no doubt that he wanted me to be here. But then the reality on the ground said otherwise. I felt, you know, like I was no hope. The love I had come to pursue didn't work out. And at that time, I couldn't understand. I thought if I went back home, there was too much shame because, you know, I would go back home having not finished my studies. And that was a very real prospect of me going back home because I couldn't sustain my way here. And I talked to God and I loved the ocean because I felt when the waves came in, they sort of like brought peace. And when they went away, they took away the pain. That's how I felt. And they sort of had that calming effect on me. Anyway, I talked to God and after that, I felt at peace. And then I started walking back home.
Now, home at this point in time was in Little Bay. So we're talking only about a half an hour walk.
Roughly half an hour.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you're walking back and what happens?
And then I receive a message from my mom, which was rare. And in that message was a Western Union money transfer of about $400, which really didn't solve all my money problems, but I felt like God was sending me a message to say that he wanted me to stay. And I've never been so relieved. And I'm so grateful to God because of the way he moves and the way he answers prayer. And the 400, again, as I said, didn't, you know, end all my problems, but it gave me the reassurance and sort of helped me to understand that God was with me no matter what. And that was comforting.
So almost more significant than the $400 was the affirmation that you were not forgotten by God, that he had you exactly where he wanted you.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful reminder, isn't it, of just how much God walks with us in the day-to-day, that we can come before him as you did on that day, casting our cares before a Father who loves to hear our prayers and who knows our concerns and anxieties.
Yeah.
And yet he answered that prayer and gave you comfort in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Now, the journey continues because you're starting to get back up on your feet. You've had some friends who have supported you financially. You were mentioning to me before that one of your friends even paid for you to get a forklift license.
Yes.
You're working in a cleaning job. Now, I want to fast forward the story because last year, on the 14th of August, again, another significant date for you. What happened on the 14th of August last year, Carita?
I officially became an Australian citizen.
An Australian citizen?
Yes.
And that's something that's very precious to you. Do you want to explain why?
Yes, because it had been a long journey. Took 9 years, thousands of dollars, and 3 degrees. Yeah, so... And a lot of sleepless nights, either because I'm out working or, you know, thinking about things. But also because it was a result of answered prayer. I think that was the most important thing. And also the reason why it was significant was because I felt, you know, just like the way we read in the Bible about the Jews and the Gentiles. One, the Jews, they belong, God's chosen race. The Gentiles, they're outsiders. Right? And what a relief when the outsiders get accepted and you are counted as, you know, part of the family. Okay. And yeah, it was a wonderful moment because it was part of, you know, a testimony of, and I was able to finally appreciate and to partake of the privilege and the rights of that, that of being a citizen.
Yeah, I love how you, I mean, for me, as someone who was born in Australia, so I have automatic citizenship.
Yeah.
I love how you've journeyed through and shared with us just that experience of being an outsider and being excluded.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, in Australia, you know, you miss out on the privilege of voting and things like that.
Yeah.
But even just those little things and just seeing how, in a sense, that's a window into your relationship with God. That though you were once lost and far away and in darkness, as you spoke about before, you are someone who has been included and adopted into his family, greater than a Kenyan citizenship or an Australian citizenship. You are a citizen of heaven, and that is the ultimate reality that can never be taken away from you.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful reminder in your journey of hearing about that, becoming an Australian citizen. Now, I must say, Australian citizenship also has its benefits as you've welcomed a new daughter into your family.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Talia.
Well, what can I say? It's, you know, every parent's dream. I mean, to be able to look at your baby and to see them smile at you, it brings much joy. You come home from work, you're tired, but when you see that smile, it just lights you up. But I think part of also what I've been reflecting on, she's still only 2 months old. I'm still processing a lot. But part of what I've been reflecting on is when she does the things I want her to do, like sleep or eat well, when she smiles at you and I feel that joy, it made me think that probably the same way, that's how our Heavenly Father feels when we do the right things, when we obey Him. And it sort of encourages me and reminds me, you know, to keep on doing those good things which the Bible tells about so that, you know, I can please my Heavenly Father. I know the two are not, can't compare the two, but I think there are similarities that can be drawn from the same.
Yes, absolutely. We have a good God and we have the privilege of putting a smile on his face as we obey him, as we walk in faith and in obedience. And one of the beautiful things that you've reminded us, Karita, through your journey from a foreign land to the point which you are at today is that we have a good God. We have a wonderful God who is for us, not against us.
Yeah.
And you were sharing how the goodness of God, a song that we sing here at church, has been a particular comfort and a favorite of yours during this time. Share with us why that particular song, The Goodness of God, has ministered to you.
I think it captures everything about my journey, not just here in Australia, but my life in general. It's all because of God's faithfulness. There have been instances along my journey where I know were it not for God. I mean, every single moment, were it not for God, I would be nothing. Even me being here, it's because God has given me breath. And I just can't, that goodness overwhelms me. His love, his faithfulness, when I, you know, fail him, he's still faithful. So the song captures, I think, everything for me.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, let's now listen to that song, The Goodness of God, and then we'll come back and hear more from Karita.
Thank you.
From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Don't we? A good God. And I love how that song picks up on the fact that all of my life you have been faithful. Certainly that is your testimony, Karita. And it's a beautiful thing that we get to celebrate the goodness of God together, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Now, Karita, we are in the midst of a really unusual time of COVID-19. You've returned from paternity leave.
Yes.
To your work as a bus driver.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, what are the routes that you normally drive, just in case some of our listeners may actually find themselves on one of your buses one day?
So services running from Penrith to Mount Druitt and up to Glenmore Parks, and surrounding suburbs, Werrington. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And during this time, bus drivers are an essential service as you're helping those who might not otherwise be able to get around, do that.
Yes.
So we thank God for you amongst other essential care workers.
Yes.
What's that been like for you, particularly as a new dad and potentially coming into contact with a whole range of different people?
Yes, I realize that with the virus and everything that is going on and due to the nature of my work, and when I think about a newborn, it's very easy to get fearful. And I thought I might not actually leave the house. But then the reason why I wake up every day and I go to work knowing the work that I'm doing and the risks that are there. Fine, a lot of effort is being done to sanitize the bus, keep safe distance and all that. And we continue doing all that, observing all those things. But for me, what has given me peace is the word of God. Knowing that God protects me, He cares for me, and it doesn't matter what situation I may be. And that's what I've learned in my job as a bus driver. There are some situations earlier on in my career as a bus driver, I prayed not to happen. But for some reason, God allowed them to happen. Not because He was unfaithful, but what He taught me was that no matter what happened, He was still there with me. So I need not be afraid. In fact, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It talks about, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear not, nor evil, for He's there with me. And that's what gives me the courage. Fine, I'll take all the necessary precautions. But at the back of my mind, I'll take the word of God with me. God is greater than the virus. He loves me. He takes care of me. And I can go to work knowing that, you know, is there with me. And that's comforting.
Amen.
Yeah, that's
Amen.
Comforting.
Wow, what a very thoughtful and encouraging reflection during this time that's ministered to me. It's ministered to, I'm sure, many of our listeners. Now, something else that you've been reading from the Bible that's been a comfort to you is something from Romans. Do you want to share with us what that verse is, Karita?
Yes, Romans 13, verses 1, I think can go up to 5.
Yep, so Romans 13, 1, let me read it. It says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." I've been certainly very thankful and been mindful to pray for our government at this time, but how has this verse particularly encouraged you?
Yeah. So when the government came and said they were developing an app to help with the virus, I was like, okay, that's good. But I felt like it was for other people.
This is the COVID safe app you're talking about?
Yes, COVID safe app. So, and then when they released it and they were encouraging people to download it, still, it didn't hit home. I felt like it was other people to do that. I didn't want to. But for some reason, I stumbled upon Romans 13. And I read about, you know, authority as being instituted by God and God requiring us to obey authority. And I felt convicted, strongly convicted, to an extent that I couldn't ignore it any longer, and I had to download the app. Not necessarily because the government asked me to, but because of what the Bible tells me. I know there are a lot of concerns about privacy. And I thought, I mean, the government, if they want to know anything about you, they can do that. Concerns about being tracked. I mean, in my job, I have cameras looking over me. So I guess
you can't get away with anything.
I can't get away with anything. But also more importantly, again, from the word of God, Psalms 139. God knows where I am. He tracks me. He knows when I wake, when I lie down, I can't go anywhere from Him.
There's no running away from God.
No running away from Him. And if there is anyone you have to be afraid of, you'd rather be afraid of God. But He's such a wonderful God. And also the thing is, I've got nothing to hide. So, you know, I don't have anything to fear.
Yeah, that's so
but,
true.
Yeah, most importantly is, just obeying God's word as you read it and you understand it.
Yeah. And in this particular case, it was from the government and obeying authorities.
Yeah.
But I love how you've joined the dots for us and just seen that actually, we have a God who knows our every moments, our every steps. That is such a comfort to us at this point in time, in the midst of a whole lot of uncertainty.
Yeah.
That we have a God who is for us, not against us.
Yeah.
Well said, Karita. Now, something that we love to share with our listeners is just some encouragement about things that they can maybe put into practice as they seek to follow Jesus day by day. Something that has stood out to me about you is you're a man of prayer. I've heard you pray beautifully at our 10:45 service. We're in a small group together, and I just find your prayer so encouraging. But share with us how you are seeking to cultivate that habit, because it is a struggle for a lot of us, for myself included. But what are some beautiful things that you've learned about prayer along the way that would be of benefit to our listeners?
I must say that my mom did a very important job in teaching me how to pray from a very early age. And we knew prayer was an important thing, but also prayer was a necessity for us. I grew up in a family where we didn't have much to go around, and you know, sort of had to trust God for everything. So pray. So it was an opportunity to put our faith in into practice. And the most rewarding thing is knowing that God has always showed up 100%, because God is in the business of answering prayer.
Yeah, so just that power of modeling.
Yes.
That's an encouragement, especially now as a dad, for yourself and to our parents out there, to model prayer to our kids. It's such an important thing and such a powerful thing.
Yeah. And the reason why I'm here is because God has answered my prayer. And one of the things I've learned is that it doesn't matter. Most of the time we go to God with human deadlines. But God cannot be limited by time, space, situation. Okay. So I've seen God answer prayers after 7 years. God granted my desire to live in a country that had the dollar as the currency after more than 10 years. Even when I had thought those desires were gone. I've seen God answer prayer when the situation seems dire, and I feel like, oh, there is no way he comes around and changes things. And what that does is it teaches me that, you know, I can depend on God always, no matter what. So something I've found helpful is that prayer and patience goes hand in hand. I've also learned that the theme here may be P, that God may, and in a lot of cases, certainly in my case, God has used people, his people, to answer my prayers. Because remember, everything, including people, belongs to God. So God just uses one person to bless another of his children. So that's what I've learned. So, and also teaches me, one of the things I've learned is to be persistent. It's such a great honor and privilege to see God answer prayer.
Amen. And look, you're a testimony to the fact that God has answered your prayers. As you said, not necessarily overnight, but he has answered those prayers because he is a faithful God. And so, Karita, would you like to close for us in prayer? Thank you so much for joining with us. It's been such an encouragement. And I wanted to give you the gift of and the privilege of closing for us in prayer now.
Yeah, sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you because of your love for us. We thank you that you are all-powerful, loving, you are merciful, you are gracious and kind to us. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and dependable, even when our world is turned upside down, Lord. We don't know how this virus will turn out to be, Lord. But we know that we can depend on you. We know that your word tells us, Lord, that those who trust in you, Lord, will find refuge in you. And we want to put our hope and trust in you, Lord. So, Lord, we pray that you give us peace at this time. Help us to stand not on our own understanding, Lord, but to rely on you and be thankful. We praise you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen indeed. Thank you so much for joining me today, Karita. It's been such a privilege and a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
After hearing Karita's story, it's only fitting that we close with the words from Philippians chapter 3. Let me read them for you. But our citizenship is in Australia. No, in Kenya. No, it's in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We worship a Jesus who is powerful, powerful enough to transform our earthly broken bodies to one day being like his eternal, glorious body. And I, for one, can't wait. Thanks so much for joining me today on Onward Upward. We want to be a blessing to you, so please do drop us a line if you've got any feedback or suggestions at podcast@mbm.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. But if you haven't already, please do make sure you subscribe and share with your friends who would benefit from listening in to some of the stories of the wonderful people who call MBM home. Well, next week, we're going to hear from someone else who calls MBM home, Ronnie, and we're going to hear about her journey of, through some painful and difficult things, has come to trust God even more so and to make the most of that time as she seeks to love Jesus and serve his people, particularly through the ministry on songwriting. Can't wait for that, and we'll see you then. As always, keep trusting Jesus in your onward and upward journey. Bye for now.